Intervju Radija Student.
Ja, pozdravljene poslušalke, pozdravljeni poslušalci, tole je oddaja Ereš Intervju. Danes smo vam pripravili intervju z londonskimi oj legendami Cockney Reject, ki je slište tudi v podlagi. Intervju smo posneli malo prejle. Zasedbo, torej londonske oj legende Cockney Rejects, pa lahko danes večer ujamete v menzi pri koritu na Metelkovi, kot predskupino pa jim bodo odr drajsali domači drag v pest. Verjetno gre za enega vidnejših punk rock dogodkov letos pri nas. Zdaj si pa za začetek, kot uvod v intervju, si poslušajmo enega njihovih najbolj znanih komadov, to bo Bad Man.
The album called Unforgiven in 2007. Mm-hmm. 4 years before that, you've recorded Out of the Gutter. Mm-hmm. How are those or these two albums received by like music media or general public and your fans?
Well, Out of the Gutter, first off, was almost an experimental album. You know, we've just a lot of fans wanted us to make a new album, so we found our footing. We thought it was a good album, but unfortunately, it suffered from very poor distribution. A very poor record company. So by the time we come around to doing Unforgiven, we was much more confident of the material and we was much more confident in the distribution, and it does seem to have reached an awful lot of people. So yeah, we're very happy with it, and we're also considering recording a new album later this year for release in 2011.
Okay, so you've all already have new songs?
We are working on them now.
Demos and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, and with these two albums, especially Unforgiven, you've made a comeback to your sound, as we may call it that way, and a comeback to your musical structure. What were the basis of this rediscovering?
Well, basically we wanted it to have the same sort of energy as it did in the late 70s and early 80s, but obviously as you get that much older, your mastery of your instrument becomes that more pronounced, and you want to play it in a structured way, not in just, you know, the free chord bash, which was the way at the time. So we figure it's a natural progression. We're glad that the punk fans out there like it, and we're glad that some rock fans like it as well.
Yeah, it's very, very hard to kind of be the same as you was 31 years ago. Like, you know, you can try and recapture a lot of it, but I don't think it could be any band in the world, you know, to capture what they was really about, and as times change, when they first come out as it is to now. But hopefully, even on the next album, we'll go more that way as well. Mm. You know what I mean? To coming back to roots, you know? So it's interesting that keeps the fire burning, really.
Yeah. Keeping a modernised eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, yeah, definitely.
Modernised sound of
modernised sound, as long as you've got the hook lines and the tunes there. We couldn't do anything that wasn't...
It was just noise, you know, we haven't got that in us. There's got to be hook lines.
That was all what there always has been for like 30-odd years. We've always prided ourselves on being able to write a tune, a catchy tune, something with a good strong hook line, you know, that pulls people in. And I'm glad that Unforgiven actually follows on from that which we started.
Like the power and the glory kind of stuff. Yeah, it's a natural progression.
Okay, can you just, when we go on further with this interview, give us a short short history of your band?
Short history of the band. Well, obviously, we was formed in 1979. Mick and myself in late March 1979. And we had a bass player, Chris Murrell. And we didn't really have a drummer. We worked with various drummers, and we was very lucky we'd done a gig. We was able to record four songs with Jimmy Percy for a demo. We hadn't even played a gig. And before we knew it, we'd done one gig with that lineup, and our first single come out on Small Wonder Records. Then we changed the lineup. Vince Reardon and Andy Scott joined the band. Then in November 79, I believe, we were signed by EMI and the accumulative deal would have been about £130,000 for four albums, then a lot of money.
Which we never saw anyway.
But obviously we made the albums are hits, the singles was hits. Everything went very well till 1981. Then there was obviously a tumble down for the oil thing, you know, which was kind of died in England. And then obviously it was our living being in a band. So we took to our natural roots, like, you know, of Aerosmith and AC/DC, to go down that path. It was more of anything as well to keep the band alive. Then obviously by the mid-80s we was almost defunct. In the 1990s we were defunct, and we come back in 1999, and we've been playing gigs for the last 10, 11 years now, playing all over the world. We've made a couple of albums, and it's been better now than it ever was in its heyday.
Yeah, definitely. That's how it is. It's better now than it ever was. Yeah. And, you know, I've got two great guys on board who've been with us for 11 years, Andrew Lang and Tony Freighter, you know, and we're happier than we've ever been, really.
Yeah, it's good.
So, as you said, you started in late 70s. Mm-hmm. You were the band that gave birth to the subgenre of punk called Oi. Mm-hmm. But metaphorically speaking, the statues were never built for your band, if I may call it that way. Mm-hmm. You've never got much recognition when you were at the top of your, career. But later you realized that you've got a lot of fans in USA, a lot of fans in mainland Europe, and a lot of notable acts like Morrissey, Shane McGowan, and even Ozzy Osbourne said you were one of the finest punk bands out there. What was your reaction towards all those praises and admirations in the time when you were inactive, like in the 90s?
Yeah, it was very nice, because we never, I mean, you know, really a lot of the time you didn't give a shit, or you didn't know what people said. You know, and especially the time that we went away, we got an awful, horrible lot of bad press. We was never, you know, by the mainstream press, we was never liked, but fuck them, we didn't like them anyway, and if that was their view. And then, obviously, we didn't even know, I don't believe, in the 90s, that there was a great mainstream, like, amount of people in America and Europe.
I think what happened is we later come to find out that bands like Blink-182 and Green Day and Rancid, but it had all been Rejects fans when they was kids, and they'd all been playing the Rejects songs, and they started name-checking us in American press and Rolling Stone and stuff like that. And I think that then the kids who followed those bands decided to check out the Rejects albums, and it was almost as if we got rediscovered, you know, via that. And that's when we started to get a much younger audience come to the shows in both Europe and the United States. And that's the way it's been ever since. Yeah. It's like we got rediscovered. And then the likes of Morrissey, who've been lifelong fans, and Ozzy, who we knew, you know, sort of just compounded that and, you know, just came alongside and said, yeah, that's the way it is. So we're very lucky.
Yeah, it's nice to get some recognition, I suppose. When you're young, you don't give a fuck, but as you get older, it's nice, yeah.
So yeah, you've mentioned that the press, especially musical press, wasn't on your side, except for Gary Bushell, right?
Yeah.
So, but today, I mean, you said in your, in one of your interviews, I don't remember, you said that press and media are quite respectable towards your band.
Yeah, yeah.
What has changed?
I don't really know. Maybe everybody's grown up. Like we have, and maybe they could see, you know, if we've had a chance to put the story straight with a lot of people, and I think the book did that as well, you know.
Yeah.
And I think people now can actually respect what we went through, and we've never really,
had a very hard time of it, I think people do respect how hard we worked to make it work.
To make it
back
work,
then,
you know.
And maybe it's just a long overdue respect.
Yeah.
And also, which we hope it will bring it full circle, was... We are currently in production of a documentary about a band called East End Babylon, the story of the Cockney Rejects, and that finishes shooting this summer, and that should be out in cinemas worldwide, hopefully, next year.
So it's a movie or a documentary?
It's a documentary.
It's a documentary,
And it's very insightful about the place we came from and the times, right the way through to now, so it's got some good people working on it, and it should give people who are unsure like an even deeper insight into what makes the band tick. Let's look forward to that. It should be sometime next September, September after this.
Yeah, that's right, so hopefully that goes well, you know, and also, I mean, we achieved one of our lifelong ambitions when we played at West Ham's ground. 2 weeks ago for the boxer Kevin Mitchell for his world title fight, and we played him into the ring. There was over 25,000 people at Upton Park.
That's an ambition.
So we did that as well, which was an ambition. So slowly with the documentary and still being able to play, you know, we're ticking a lot of the boxes off now.
Ticking a lot. That's right, that's a good expression.
Okay, you mentioned your book called Cockney Reject. Where did you get the idea this book?
I tell you where I did get the idea from it. That there was a book by a fella called Cash Pennant about the ICF, and there was a little chapter in there, which was, I think, was done by our ex-bass player Vince Reardon on the Cockney Rejects, and it was only a few pages long about the band. I just thought it was very interesting, and I just thought, well, I'd like to expand that and tell the story straight, because a lot of people were saying, you should do a book, it should come out. And then, within no time, I mean, Blake Publishing was the first one to be contacted, and they snapped it up straight away. They said, yeah, we want to do it. So it took a couple of years to do, but it was worth doing, and I'm proud of it, because it tells the truth. It got great reviews as well, and it was well received. And I think it shall put the band, as I say, put a lot of ghosts to rest, and it's enabled the band, like, you know, another footing, obviously, to tell the story, you know?
Yeah, you said there's truth in this book. I mean, you spare nobody in this book, right?
No.
So, I mean, everyone's good or bad side is pretty well documented.
Yeah, of course.
So, what was the reaction from these people mentioned, or those people mentioned in your book? And, I mean, you said that general reaction from the press and public was...
I don't know, I've not seen any of the people heard from whom I'll give it to, but there's nothing they could say, because everything in there is 100% cast iron truth. And any people like your Billy Idols or people like that, if they want to read that, they'll know that I'm telling the truth, so there's nothing that they could say, you know.
It's hardly like they're going to complain anyway.
Nobody could say anything, because it's true. No, I've not had much reaction from things like that, you know what I mean? Any people, because obviously we had to be told off, and it was told off. But, you know, obviously, I mean, I don't escape myself. I don't absolve Myself, Mick and myself have all the blame anyway, you know. I know you can sort of smoke screen that you was young and all that.
Yeah, but we were stupid.
We were stupid, like, you know what I mean? We didn't help the situation. I went out great lengths in the book to highlight that, you know. Yeah. Like, not to try and blame everybody else, but,
yeah,
you know...
I think the power of the book is. It's actually very self-critical. Yeah. The book is. I mean, in no way does it take yourself too seriously. Jeff tells a story almost with regret for a lot of the things that we've done. So that's what makes it a very honest and truthful book.
Yeah, it's the easiest thing in the world to blame other people for your whole downfall, you know. But it wasn't like that. It was a 50-50 split,
you know.
Outside influence, and I hope that's... has come out, but I just thought publishing be damned, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Yeah. And that's why I said it was very carefully scrutinised as well about people if they wanted a libel and all that. I said, go ahead, because everything in there is true anyway. So luckily, you know, there hasn't been any libel suits. Yeah.
There's a lot of violence in this book, but it's not a praise of violence, right?
It's not praising
violence.
Damning.
Yeah,
violence, and as Jeff writes it, it's all written, as I say, very self-critical and with a lot of regret.
Oh, there's a lot of regret. The things now, like when you was kids, would torture me to see it. I mean, if that started happening at gigs now, and no doubt I would pack up walk away and go away because I wouldn't want it. But it was just something with the story that had to be highlighted.
Had to be told.
The sheer, you know what I mean, like weight of the violence that was around in them
days. Bad times.
You know,
that they was were bad times. They weren't good times. Like, that was bad times.
You know, this is a lot better this time round as it was.
This
it
is
was
entertainment.
Never enjoyable.
So you don't have any troubles at your gigs?
We won't entertain it. We walk away. If you want to fight any honest, we'll walk off. That's it. Yeah. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
We're here to entertain you. We're here to give you a show.
Yeah.
You know, you pay your money, come and enjoy yourself, have fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We abhor violence. We do not want
it. Yeah, I hate it now if you see little skirmishes in the crowd. Please, don't do
come
it.
Come on, guys. Don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. That was 30 years ago when we was kids, not now.
Yeah, not now.
So nowadays, you can... there's no problems set in Liverpool, in Birmingham.
No, everyone's...
No, there isn't. I mean, I'll be honest, we've not been... back to Liverpool, but we've been around the Midlands a lot, Leicester, Coventry,
we've been up north and
you know,
Scotland,
all places
been,
near Birmingham
great.
And all that, and there's never been any.
No, because it's
Manchester,
all like all that football thing. It's all now. It's all everyone's pals, you know.
Yeah.
It's all sort of you're Liverpool, we're West Ham. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Right.
Why is that?
I don't know, maybe everyone realises they're getting older. You've still got a younger faction of getting involved in that shit. But you're getting older and
older.
But
all the older lot, you know, they're all pretty much on the same footing. I mean, I've got friends like Mick Ez who are Millwall, who are Chelsea, who are Newcastle, who are, you know, all up and down the country.
Yeah, we just laugh about it now. Yeah. It's just, you know, that was what you did when you were young. That's it.
Okay, so you're playing again, and my question would be... Why do you think that there's still a need for Cockney Rejects today?
Because we've always been an honest band.
Yeah.
We've always been a brutally honest band, and what you see up there is honest. And also, we're one of the best live bands out there. And that, I'm very confident in saying, because I know it to be true. And you'll get a hell of a show. So if you want to get your money's worth and have a great night, go see the Cockney Rejects, because you won't get any better.
Yeah, but we put everything into our shows. There's no drink or anything involved before shows. Everything is for the punters,
for the people coming to see you,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, and they deserve their money's worth. So I think that is really because we have made some cracking live shows, and I'm going to say it as it is, that's why people will still come to see us, whether it's 30 people or 3,000 people, you know? They still come.
So for whom the Cockney Rejects sing today, what kind of people and situations do you want to present in your lyrics?
Well, I believe this is the really, really the hard thing about writing new material, because when you're young and you're so angry and you're getting nicked and you're fighting over football, which was synonymous with the Rejects, it's very easy to write about. That's why albums are sporadic now. When you're writing now, and that is a good question, that comes with a mental block and thinking now, what do you write about? I don't want to be like a lot of these bands now, and I won't name names, who are like bank managers and stuff like that, and writing songs about being in prison and all that, which is total bull. Like, you write about your experiences or rock and roll.
If
or
you listen
you
to Unforgiven, I mean, it's really a natural progression because Jeff's singing about marriage breakups and stuff like that. All life is in those lyrics.
Yeah, you know? About the history of the Rejects, about looking after your brothers, all right, bruv, and and being together, yeah, you
don't
know what I mean,
fight
your
no
differences,
more, you know,
I don't
want to
fight
that,
yeah, you know, stuff like that.
So really, we've never stopped telling stories, telling the tales of our life right up till now, so every song has a meaning.
Yeah, it's very hard, you know, singing about prisons and stuff like that, what we're not in anymore, like, you know, and doing stuff. So, obviously, but that's the next challenge. And I believe if you want to record, you've got to have challenges, like, you know.
You must.
It was never meant to be easy. So
set out the next, you know, the next stall of your saga, your life saga, you know, and sing about that.
So, you've always said that you're an anti-political band.
Yes.
But, I mean, my opinion is, I mean, there's always people in our societies who politicians don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
I mean, and writing songs that remind those people they're not alone, that they have to stand up for themselves, you know, and not believing what the system tries to tell them. Mm. I mean, it's quite a political thing.
Well, that's just called freedom of speech and having respect for yourself and others. Basically, we have contempt for all politicians, whether they be left or right. We don't, not interested in them, don't like them.
Yeah, he just had an election in England. I didn't even bother to vote.
Didn't even bother to vote, you know.
No, if, you know, it's all from one and the same thing. Things will never change. I think it comes to the point now where you get to our age, so obviously you wouldn't do anybody else any harm, but you've got to look after yourself and your family.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I know, obviously, that can seem a little bit bigoted in a way. I mean, you could take, like, you know, just the political problems that you've had, obviously, in Slovenia, you know what I mean, in the last, like, 20 years and stuff like that, you know. But I can only speak as in England, we never a political band. I've always hated politicians and I always do. They all sing off the same sheet.
But I think if you're getting the message that is coming from the older songs is basically, you know, be true to yourself, you know, never get caught up in any stupid situations with any, you know, stupid political views. Just be honest, be straight, be true to yourself, you know what I mean? And I'm a firm believer that things will work out right in the end for good people. That's what I believe. If you're basically a good person, things will work
things
out.
Things will happen for you,
Okay, last question for this interview would be a football-related one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As you may know, Slovenia and England are in the same group C, of the World Cup Championship in South Africa. What's your guess on the outcome of this match?
Well, I believe anything. There's no easy matches in world football anymore, as anybody can see. And I tell you what, I've got to say it, and people might think this is, you know, wrong and this and that. But England, to me, have never been a good football team. 66 is a long time ago, and we're beatable. And anything can happen. I mean, obviously, the USA's there, Slovenia's there. I still think it'd be hard to get out of that group, and nobody knows. If England don't beat the USA in their first match, there's no reason why Slovenia can't beat them. You know?
It's
and that's not being... England, they've never done anything like... Never impressed me, and they never will. Every tournament we go to, they're going to do this and they're going to do
that. There's this massive expectation back home, hyped beyond belief, and I don't think that those players, and I'll be honest too, I don't think those players deserve all that love and support that they get.
Love and support.
Most of them, we believe, turn up at their respective clubs to get their 100 grand a week.
Yeah, you know they don't care so much about playing for England anymore.
I don't think they do.
It's all they probably want appearance money and stuff like that, you know.
They take their girlfriends out of South Africa and shopping for bloody, you know, diamonds. And
believe me, if they had a friendly, like midweek, it might be against Switzerland, Slovenia, the Czech Republic, and if they had a friendly in February, half of them wouldn't want to play anyway. They'd say, oh, I've got a sore knee. So the passion for England now playing means nothing. Of course, the World Cup's a little bit of get-together and it puts their name.
High profile.
You know, they might get attracted by our clubs to me. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Slovenia beat more the USA.
If Slovenia have got more ambition and drive and passion, then they deserve to win it. Yeah. And I bet they surprised you us saying that, hasn't it?
A bit.
Yeah.
Just being honest.
I would say, like, 3-0 for
like I said, we are honest. We're brutally honest.
Yeah,
we say what's on our minds.
And I'm back them, you know. And if you don't beat them, good luck to you.
Good luck to you.
No problem with it.
Thanks for the interview.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Thanks ever so much.
Thank you.
And see you at the show.
See you at the show.
We'll
be a good one,
enjoy.
Too.
Ja, tole je bil intervju s Cockney Rejects, pripravil sem ga Uroš Badovinac, kot že rečeno, Cockney Rejects, te londonske legende oi punka, lahko danes večer, tam ob 9. uri, ujamete v menzi pri koritu na Metelkovi. Za konc intervjuja, za en adio, pa poslušajmo še njihov komad iz njihovega zadnjega albuma, to bo It's Alright Bro.
Intervju Radio Student.